Welcome to the Soul Savvy Podcast, your home to sneaker culture, community, and connections. Our goal is to provide you with industry insights that you can't find anywhere else, as well as news and stories from the people who helped build sneaker culture into what it is today. From designers to photographers to brand experts, we give you the real scoop on what's going on in the sneaker world as it relates to you, the consumer. Episode 233 of the Soul Savvy Podcast is brought to you by Advisory Board Crystals, who have still not shipped their San Diego Comic-Con release from July at this point. And I think, Lawrence, this is the gift that just keeps on giving for content purposes, because we started talking about this a handful of episodes ago. And I think in the last one, I predicted no one's going to get their shoes in October and they should start filing chargebacks because the 90-day grace period is fast approaching. And we have no shoes in sight.
Yeah, I believe the over-under we set on the last podcast was October 1st, and they have blown through that. So Vegas really messed up the line on that one. But I don't know what to say about this anymore. I feel awful for the people who paid for them because they were not cheap. And obviously when you pay that much money, you're excited about them. And the movie was just out, like they preyed on people's excitement and got people to purchase them upfront without even seeing them. And they're just, we've seen different instances of like, now they're throwing Puma under the bus. Like they're, oh, we're not going to release anything else until we get these out to people, which like, okay.
They haven't. They have not posted on Instagram or launched new product in 3 months now, which is an eternity for a streetwear brand.
It's, I just am shocked that they have not just like taken their lumps, refunded everybody, do a first come first serve drop when they release and just like move on from it. Because at this point, you're just digging yourself into a deeper and deeper hole. Again, if it was a month late, you send out a 10% coupon code to people and they'll be fine. At this point, it's like, again, I said it on the last podcast, I would have charged back weeks ago personally. There's no valid excuse for it taking this long. From a consumer point of view, I'm sure they have their reasons why they have not dropped them yet. And I'm sure it's tariff related. But as a consumer, I do not care.
No, I don't care either. And I think the excuses are evident. This shoe was not ready. These shoes were not ready in July. And I don't believe for a second any of this was planned accordingly with the mysteriness of the empty boxes. Like you would have heard my theory last time, and I'm sticking to it. This is a giant disaster, and we won't keep talking about it, but I cannot believe it's October and they still have not shipped anything to people. If you're holding on, I guess keep holding on, but just remember the 90 days is coming up from the day you paid. So think long and hard in the next 2 weeks about what you're going to do. Lawrence is shaking his head.
I don't know why. I just don't. It's baffling to me. Baffling. I can't believe this is not like, again, I feel like I sound like I have like a tinfoil hat on, but like, I can't believe this is not getting more coverage. No one's talking about it. Like it's insane. It's crazy. It really is crazy. And a lot of these blogs were probably paid to cover it when it came out. So maybe they're just trying to keep the niceties going. But like, it's why we were not. Yeah, clearly we were not. So it's just wild. It's absolutely wild to me. I can't say anything else at this point.
Yeah. I mean, in related pre-order news, the one thing we haven't talked about since the last podcast that also happened was the Tom Sachs Mars Yard release. And I think we made some predictions on it. I was saying like 450. I think you were saying 700. I think currently you're definitely accurate. We were definitely also lowballing because sneakers never released. And the big curveball, which obviously was planned from day one and by no means something was done out of like kindness and gesture, was the fact that a bunch of people, they didn't have enough pairs, quote unquote. So people who participated got to join in on a pre-order for the shoes that we released in 2026. We have still not seen a sneakers release. And for me, this was all an elaborate plan to, we've seen it in varying ways, but drop enough supply in the market, keep the resale price high, do a pre-order. You've now earned a ton of data points if you're Nike. Again, if you're Nike, you're not doing this shoe without releasing it on sneakers and making your own full 90% margin on it. So I suspect there's going to be a ton of these next spring. when they release in 2026 for the pre-order, and then on sneakers, the sneakers release is definitely coming. On one hand, I'm like, you know what? Good for you guys. Smart marketing. I get it. This gives you both the best worlds. You have like a 9-month runway of like this shoe being worth a ton of money. And I'm just making sure, as a Canadian, the price I'm seeing here is not shipped to Canada with tariffs and all that stuff. But you get the best of both worlds, which is like, hey, this is a really hype, expensive shoe, but the current price, which I will pause to verify on GOAT here. But if this current price is accurate, this shoe would have been like $10,000 in 2020. Like, it's illogical how much it is. And I just don't believe for a second Nike brought it back to not make a ton of money from it themselves as well. Like, it's illogical. I don't buy it for a damn second.
Yeah, that whole, again, I don't mind the fact that they opened up a pre-order on it. Obviously, a lot of people participated and spent a lot of time, trying to get the shoe. So I think in that sense, it's nice. The whole spiel always rubs me the wrong way. The marketing spiel, like, oh, with due to unprecedented demand, we have decided, like, no, you don't just all of a sudden out
it's
of
never
nowhere,
happened randomly.
You don't
yeah.
just turn the factory back on. Like, it's not Willy Wonka here. Like, you don't just flip a switch and then the Oompa Loompas start making the Tom Sachs shoes again. This was always in the cards. They never stopped producing, I'm sure. It was always just like the constant supply chain. They shipped some and then kept making them. But yeah, I don't really mind. The only thing that I would, again, kind of rub me the wrong way is it seemed like retailers got a lot of stock, which it is a good thing in and of itself. But if I had participated and did all of this work and then had to wait who knows how long, they didn't really specify the time frame. But and then somebody else kind of just went and entered a raffle. And it seemed like as long as you entered an in-store raffle, you had a pretty good chance. They got the shoe immediately. That kind of rubs me the wrong way. But again, there's not a whole lot you can do about it. And then obviously the biggest wrinkle to all this, which set the world ablaze that we have to talk about as well, is the loser shoe, which is like the first of its kind that I can remember, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Kind of hilarious, kind of sad, kind of a lot of things.
Kind of photoshopped.
kind of wild to call everybody losers. But yeah, that was an interesting way to make even more money for them, because that was also a pre-order. And that one said shipping summer 2026, which is at the time it was like 11 months away, depending on when they ship.
Yeah.
So. And that's a shoe, obviously, that people do not care as much about the GPS as a Mars Yard. So, yeah, good for them. They made lots of money. Good, they did that.
Yeah, I'm going to take this opportunity to say stop pre-orders with full payment up front. If I can figure it out for the Soul Savvy store with one plugin and a 25% or 50% deposit, and it's so easy, companies just have to do better. You don't need to take people's money for that long. You know, secure it. You got the credit card information, bill them later. So 12 months for this, when I saw that, was just outlandish. Yeah, that has to change. But look, the shoe is actually going for a boatload of money. We were both horribly wrong. A size 11 is last sale was $1,300 USD, which is crazy money in this era of sneakers. People are paying for it. My God, don't. And I suspect we will see the low point of the shoe sometime next summer. And I'm still going to stick by my prediction. I think they're going to make these to the freaking moon, because now they know exactly how much demand there is for sneakers. And ultimately, Tom Sachs, based off on all the data points, and they're going to run it. So for those listening, if you really want them, you just got to wait a little bit longer. That's my advice. It would, unless you're just going to wear it for the next 9 months straight and justify the increased price, I would not be laying down a mortgage payment on the Tom Sachs Mars Yard 3.0 in the year 2025.
Yeah. Just pretend like they don't exist for another 6 months or 8 months or whatever, and then reevaluate the situation.
That's exactly how I feel. Keeping it moving on the subjects here, we got a worldwide, and we can touch on that, a worldwide Jordan 11 collection that started releasing technically October 1st in Europe with the rare 11s. But it is an interesting way to approach the Jordan 11 this year, anniversary year, if I'm not mistaken. from what I saw.
Correct.
And just in general, in a time where retros are not as in demand, this feels like a way to, quote unquote, sell a million pairs of Jordan 11s without having it just be one single colorway, which is going to be really hard in this era, especially over the last like 5-6 years of retros. So it's smart. And I think the old heads like us, the retro Jordan collectors, had something to be excited about, and they really tried to differentiate this release from everything else this year.
Well, first of all, I don't associate with you as an old head.
Okay, fair.
Second of all, yeah, I think this was well done. I think it got mixed reviews. Obviously, again, retros, especially the higher number, not that Jordan is a super high, Jordan 11 is a super high number, but it's still not a Jordan 1 or 3 or 4, essentially. They're getting, you know, mixed reviews pretty much every time they drop, but I think they did a good job. I think there's some deep storytelling. There's the regional exclusive aspect to it, which we'll get into a little bit more, but yeah, I mean, we've been saying that you kind of just got to stop just dropping things, and you got to put a little bit of work into it, and this is them putting work into it. It's the 30th anniversary, and like you said, I think it's a really smart way to bring back a little bit of collecting, because there are going to be people out there who want to get all 9 of them. There's going to be people who want all 3 U.S. city exclusives, or they're going to chase the Asia pairs. So, like, bring back the thrill of the hunt a little bit, and it helps you sell. Like, again, they usually make at least a million men's pairs of the big holiday release right. Jordan 11. This is a way to spread it out over 9 different sneakers and hopefully have the same result and make the same amount of money, just in a different way. And again, it makes it something. And the Jordan 11 needed a refresh, in my opinion. You know, when the Legend Blues last year, Columbia's, whatever you want to call them, did not sell out or sell that well, I think that's probably raised alarm bells, because the holiday Jordan 11 is supposed to be like their biggest layup of the year.
Sure.
For the most part, you know, that's the one that goes in the Christmas cards for everybody, the matching, you know, full family size run. Like, that's just the one every year that is kind of just easy for them. And it wasn't last year. So yeah, it was a good time to switch it up. I'm excited for it. I think they did a good job. I think that, again, pretty much all of them are like really cool. I like, pretty much the whole pack is sick to me. So yeah. Well done to them. Got to give them their flowers when they earn it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think obviously it leads off with the Gammas, and then there's a couple, the Rare Airs, as we mentioned, and then the regional releases. I think Houston, China, and
Las Vegas.
I guess there's a North America pair, and then the Tokyo pair in Japan.
Yeah.
That obviously gives, again, some more collectability to this. I think this is a step in the right direction for a retro collection. It's nice to, you know, kind of have these release dates like spring 2026 for the Jordan 11 Tokyo. Okay, great. On my radar, and it's only available in Japan. Shit. All right. That's kind of fun and interesting. And I want more of that. I think what they could have done with this collection is taken it up another level, and maybe that exists somewhere in the box or something inside the box that we don't know of yet. But like, I would have loved to have seen like, again, a special edition 30th anniversary box, number one for sure, has to be done. I hope they do that. But maybe something in the box that, like, if you get all of them, it makes up, I don't know, a print or a poster, or there's some sort of collectible item inside of all the boxes, just to give some sneaker nerd like myself a little bit more reason to go, you know what, I will get all of them because I'm crazy.
Yeah.
I think there's opportunity to take that up another level and just make it a little bit more fun from a collectible nature, because I think that's what, at this stage, I think Nike and Jordan Brand are going to need to keep things exciting, because it's very easy. I mean, you know, you can retro everything every 5 years, but at some point you don't need 3 pairs of the same shoe over 15 years if you're someone like myself. So differentiating them, I think, will be interesting. And they did, so far, did a good job. Like this China pair, this is really cool. I'm probably not going to buy these. They're not for me, but very cool shoe.
Yeah. Again, it seems like I've seen rumors that the Las Vegas pair is actually going to debut at ComplexCon weekend in some capacity. Obviously there's like a decent amount of boutiques in Vegas. So like, you could do an early release there, or that is the release, who knows? But like, again, those are the kind of cultural moments they would have last year or 2 years ago they would have missed. They would have like, they would have dropped the Las Vegas Pair in the middle of November and were like, oh, what, the Complex? Oh yeah, I guess we could have done Complex Con. Good point. Like, they are actually like nailed it this time. So I would not be shocked to see if like the Houston Pair and the Atlanta Pair drop around other big cultural moments in those cities and like kind of nail it. So yeah, good for them. The thing that actually, when you said like, if you put all nine boxes together, it reminded me of, this is like a deep cut. Remember the Dragon Ball Z Adidas collection from like, whatever it was, 2016?
Right.
You stack them all together and then and it completed like a big image, like something so super easy that cost them no extra money.
Exactly.
To get people to go out and try and collect all nine. It's a cool little...
Because you know people are keeping the boxes. You know they're doing certain things. Yeah, I think that's a larger discussion and maybe a topic for one day, but we do need to figure out how these retro releases can come out and like 1% of them have something super cool inside. And honestly, at that point, there's no returns. More blind, maybe the box is blind once you open, there's no returns. Like they're just... Yeah, there's got to be more to it than just like, hey, put this shoe out and retro this shoe and nothing really has changed. I think that's what will make it a lot more fun.
They tried it with those Rare Air 4s where they have like their writing was gold, but it seemed like pretty much everybody got gold writing. Like it seemed like it was more rare to get the white writing.
Yeah.
And that's not even like a big difference.
No, it's not enough.
It's not enough.
Yeah, I mean, I can liken that. Hot Wheels, but there's got to be something that can be done to kind of just like spice it up a little bit and make it fun. And again, collectible, because I think that's what can drive the space a little bit more. And like I say that from the perspective of like, it's really fun. It's a great time to be a sneakerhead. This year's releases have been awesome. It just doesn't have that fever pitch that Nike Inc. needs for the growth of the business. So you have to gamify it. And I don't mean more raffles. Definitely don't mean more raffles. But yeah, I think this is a step in the right direction. I'm excited to see what's coming in All-Star 2026, because that is in Los Angeles, if I'm remembering correctly, which now reminds me it's time to hold down some hotel dates for February while they're cheap.
But speaking of gamifying, that's a great way, and collecting, it's a great way to like the next topic, or it's same topic-ish. Like, it seems like the regional exclusives are kind of, like, returning. Like, for a long time, it was make as many pairs and put it in as many stores as you can to make the most money. It's, like, printing money at this point. Like, people are just buying everything, so put them everywhere. So at the time, it made sense. But now the market is reacting differently, so it seems like they've adjusted. And there's a lot more like regional exclusives, or they drop here first, only available in this country. Like you can go down the list of like the Yu-Gi-Oh! Air Max 95. There was a Japan exclusive and then a worldwide pair. There was the Bad Bunny Adidas that only dropped in Puerto Rico. There was, again, there's these Jordan 11s. There's that Reebok collection for 30th anniversary, or the PlayStation Reebok collection that's doing like regional Asia, North America, and Europe.
Sure. Sure.
Supreme Dunk SB a couple weeks ago. Like there's, and the maybe the Travis Jordan 1, Travis Fragment Jordan 1, because all the ads are saying Japan on them, like Tokyo or whatever.
Yeah.
It seems like that's coming back. And I think that's a great idea personally. Like it brings back the thrill of the hunt. Like things have, especially with like aftermarkets being what they are, it's not that hard to own literally whatever you want if you're willing to pay for it. So adding one little barrier for a couple pairs here and there just to sprinkle in some collecting and add some juice, I'm all for it.
Yeah. I mean, the trading card in the Yu-Gi-Oh! Release was, I'm glad they pulled it off. It was brilliant, right? It added another layer to the release. You might get the regular pair, want this limited edition card from Japan, vice versa, who knows? It just added more depth to the drop and the collectability of it, which again, as we both said, I think will make it a lot more fun. It's a good time to be a sneakerhead. Stuff's easy to get. It's affordable. A lot of great shoes. And, it has pushed brands to innovate a little bit more and try some new things, which leads us to the Jordan Trunner OS, right? This shoe Well, actually, I'll let you speak on it. You have a pair. I don't have a pair. I've heard great things. I've seen the community talking about it too, from a comfort level. Lawrence, what do you think about it?
Yeah. So as we speak, I am today on the last day of the 100,000 step wear test of the Jordan Runner OS. 100,000 steps in 7 days, which worked out to like 15,000 steps a day. Not an insignificant amount, I've come to realize, especially when you have next to no plans. don't really go anywhere that would warrant that many steps. But to say that, again, I mean, this is going to drop after the video drops, so we can kind of just talk about it openly. But to say that I was shocked and surprised in the best way would be an understatement. I had my doubts. To be fair, it is a pretty low bar for Nike to call them the most comfortable Jordan of all time, because
sure,
Jordans are not comfortable typically, unless you're talking like quote, performance unquote basketball shoe. But even then, yeah, I wouldn't walk 100,000 steps in a Jordan 39 or 40 or whatever. So yeah, they have whatever they've done. I don't know where this cushioning came from. Cushion 3.0, I think they called it. Kind of a dumb name. Like for a brand that likes to really go hard with their naming conventions, it's kind of a dumb name, but they've got something with this. It's definitely not like it's not a Vapor or React or anything like that. There's no responsiveness. So you can't like work out in it, but cushion wise, walking, like they don't have a good walking casual shoe. Like it's like a Monarch Comfort and something that doesn't look like a dad shoe. They've nailed it. Absolutely nailed it. I wish I had it with me, and you'll see it in the video. They look the exact same. They wear so well.
Interesting.
You could not tell I took 50 steps or 100,000 steps in these. They don't crease. The cushioning doesn't like compress or crease on like the midsole. It's just like they've done a fantastic job. The colorways, the first couple were like pretty bold. You know, there was like the brown and purple with there's like a pink pair, triple red, but they've all like they're introducing like the sail and like the very easy everyday colorways. And I think that, yeah, I think they've got something with these. I think that they still got to put some marketing dollars behind it to really push them. Because sneakerheads take a lot of convincing a lot of the time, but yeah, I am a huge fan, massive fan.
Nice. I'm excited to try them. I've heard good things from you and a handful of other people. And it's $110 USD. It's very, very affordable. The brand definitely needs that, because us old heads, not you included in this situation, I just want comfort. Like, I'm not leaving a Jordan 3 or 4 or any Jordan at my door to go get groceries. I will leave the Trainer at my door, replace my Vomero that's been getting beat into the ground and you know, give it some real life. But it's good to hear that it's stood your wear test. And when you pitched 100,000 steps, I kind of thought you were crazy, but you were like, it's fine. And I'm like, okay, it sounds good. And now you know you needed to go to Disneyland to rack on the mileage for that.
Like, it's not hard to walk that many steps. It's hard to walk that many steps when you don't have anywhere to fucking walk to. I don't have anywhere. I'm just walking outside of my condo in like circles around the neighborhoods, like literally just like wandering around aimlessly.
That's actually hilarious. You got to do what you got to do.
Exactly.
And it was also your idea. But yeah, I'm excited. I think they need more of that. It reminds me of the Jordan Delta. I really liked that shoe when it first came out. I grabbed two colorways. I still wear one of them. So I think there's opportunity, and they position this specifically with the football player whose name is now, oh my God, aiding me, Jalen Hurt. Thank you. Good Lord. They positioned it well to the market with him wearing it Super Bowl, start of the season, et cetera, et cetera. So, and to your point, you said this offline, people are really curious about it, because you posted the video about, hey, I'm going to put these through the ringer and I'm wearing 100,000 steps, and people have been following up. Kind of they're curious. They want to see how you did. So I'm curious to see your video. I think I'll grab a pair when I'm in Portland this weekend and give it a good test spin. So I think it's great to see.
Now you got to do 100,000 steps as well, just to verify my findings. Signed.
I will wear them to the airport. I will grab some Voodoo donuts, and then I will walk through terminals in circles and then eat more donuts and justify my donuts. That was a disaster that they put that Voodoo donuts in the airport. I came home with a dozen donuts because my flight was at 10 o'clock and it was the end of the day. So they're like 60% off. And I'm like, great. I'm going home with 12 fucking donuts.
I don't know terrible. That I got Voodoo Donuts when I was in Portland. I've only ever been the one time with you guys.
You know what? It might not be Voodoo Donuts. Anyways, one of the popular Portland donut chains. It's the other one. I think for sure it was the other one. But I digress. Blue Star Donuts. That's where it was. God damn it, it was delicious.
Still don't think I've had that either. But yeah.
Yeah. It was great. It was a disaster. Easy to bring on the plane. All right. Lawrence, thanks for taking the time to join us on the podcast. And once again, this episode was not brought to you by Advisory Board Crystals. And I hope everyone gets their juice.
Please. Please shift them.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Soul Savvy Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, please make sure to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. You can find us on social media at Soul Savvy with 1V on all platforms. To learn more about Soul Savvy and join our community, please visit www.soulsavvy.com/join.